Chapter 70.
In the circus, when I was growing up, we had this act,
Big Leo said, as the Mighty followed Kip toward the Dunvio gate. They hadn't heard what Con Arthur had said. Cruxer told them only that he was leaving. They weren't taking it well. Big Leo continued,
We'd take the scrawniest kid we could find in the village, or some feeble old codger, or just the kid whose parents we wanted to please the most. And we'd pit him against my dad, who was my size now at least. Bigger. We had these funny illusions where we pitted him against my father in feats of strength, and somehow he won every time. And at the finale, my father pretends to be furious, and picks the skinny guy up and sets him on a teeter board, determined to bounce him out of the place. He jumps on his side of the teeter board and just slowly rises, not even fast enough to bounce him. Then my father looks at the teeter board like it's got to be broken, picks it up, moves it around, sees that it's just a plain old teeter board, one piece of plain wood over a fulcrum.
Tell me this story is ending soon, Winston said. The awesome wonders of the circus are too much for my provincial mind.
It's going somewhere, all right? It got a little longer than I was expecting. But
Tisus gave a significant glance to Kip.
Not too long, okay? And said, I'll go stall them.
She flicked the reins of her horse and darted away.
He's right at the climax of the show, Win. I want to hear what happens, Farcudi said.
What happens? Like it's still going on? Big Leo's parents and that whole damn circus were killed, Fac, Winston said.
Always was the diplomat.
It's not what happens, it's what happened.
Thank you, High Lord Pedant, Ben-Hadad said. We don't know the story, so we don't know what happens next in the time stream of the story. You can put it in any tense you want. It's like it lives in a hypothetical fairy story land where anything may or may not happen. And we just want to find out what that happening is.
What? Hypothetical what? Winston said. It's a true story. Something really did happen, and it's over, so it happened.
I have to admit, Big Leo said, it does kind of sound like you're talking out of your ass with that hypothetical fairy story, whatever, Ben-Hadad.
Ben-Hadad threw his hands up.
So it's a true story composited from many instances of a mummery act facilitated with illusions. Fine. That's totally different.
Yes, Winston said.
Ben-Hadad nearly shouted,
No, it isn't! It's a fucking story for the purpose of illustration! It doesn't matter if it even actually...
Shut it, Ben! I was damn near getting to my point,
Big Leo said. He grunted as they passed a burning pit.
I know I've said this before, but I really don't like the smell of burning human.
I don't know,
Farcudi said.
I mean, once the hair's burnt off, I think it's kind of appetizing. I missed breakfast. I'm hungry. Anyone else hungry?
One of the burning pit workers, a rag tied over his face, looked at Farcudi aghast.
That's what I don't like about it, Big Leo said. You don't remember that we've had this conversation before?
It did seem kind of familiar.
It's our third time, Big Leo said. Anyway, wait. I wanted to get this out of the way before we get to the war. No, they see us. They'll wait. So my father put the teeter board back down and we'd play it a few different ways. But he'd wobble it up and down, see that it was a plain old teeter board, and finally asked this tiny kid to jump on the other side. And of course, we had it rigged so that my father would be blasted not just high in the air, but all the way through the roof of the tent and out into some nets outside that none of them knew about. Brought some people to tears the first few times. They thought he'd been killed. But eventually, we sighted in the humour and he'd come back in for the applause.
Great bit.
Dangerous as hell. Way too easy to miss the net. My mother hated it.
He shook himself.
Anyway, that was supposed to be shorter than all that. Point is, what the hell just happened?
Kip sighed. Double damn and triple damn. He wanted space from this right now.
The reaction doesn't seem proportional to the event, right? I mean, his brother's bear died. I had a dog die once. I was sad. And I know the foresters enjoy their drama, but...
I don't know, Farcudi said. His brother died not long ago. Satrap is all tore up. Maybe he just...
Oh, mercy, don't do it, Cruxus said.
Couldn't bear it? Perkudi asked. Get it? Bear it?
Ballsfeck, Ben-Hadad said. You think it's appropriate to make jokes when a man bears his soul?
The rest of them groaned. Jokes aside, I hear you, Winston said. It does seem like a bit of an overreaction. When my cat Fluffles died, I grinned and bore it.
Damn, that didn't really work, did it?
Grinned and bared it?
Now you're beating that joke like a dead, Big Leo said.
Don't,
Cruxus said. Bear, Big Leo finished.
Oops.
You motherfuckers, Kip seethed, rounding on them. They didn't know. They didn't know, but he went red.
You shut your fucking shitholes or I'll...
The conversation broke like ice over a puddle on a cold fall morning. They plunged into the mud beneath, the grime that was Kip. He'd never spoken to them in anger, not once in the year and a half, the lifetime he'd known them, and it was going to shatter their friendship, all because Kip couldn't control his mouth, Kip the lip.
God damn.
Breaker, Cruxus said quietly. They don't mean anything by it.
It wasn't even Con Arthur's bear, Ben-Hadad complained. I know he's a moody...
Stop, Kip said, looking away. He turned his back but didn't keep walking to the gate. Not yet.
You're done.
Don't you turn your back on us, you asshole, Winston said.
Don't,
Cruxer warned Winston.
No, shit gets awful, we have a few laughs. You've joined us every other time. Now you pull high ground on us. Go fuck yourself.
What's your problem, boss? Winston demanded.
Let's forget it, Kip said.
Sure, we can joke about the guy's head we found 200 paces from his body back at the wagon ambush, but some fucking bear is beyond the pale.
Sure, boss, you get to decide what's funny too, because you're the light bringer.
I never said that, Kip said.
Yes, he is, Cruxer said, at the same moment.
But he went on, and if you doubt it at this point, what the hell are you still doing here?
I like the food, Winston said, and I get to kill people.
Aside from Kip, the rest of them chuckled, but it was forced. They'd all known Winston long enough to know that the first half was probably a joke. It should be. Any spices the cooks laid their hands on had to be sold for actual necessities, but the second half probably wasn't a joke, and they'd all known him long enough to be uneasy about that. Long enough, not well enough, because it didn't seem that any of them did know him well. If there were hidden depths to Winston, and one expects depths, they remained hidden. He seemed unaffected both by the physical difficulties of a life at war and the moral ones.
Bad people, Frecudi amended for him.
He was probably the only one of them who wasn't a little unnerved by Winston from time to time.
Huh? You get to kill bad people.
That's a bonus, Winston said. He grinned at their drawn faces.
I am joking, guys.
But Kip didn't believe him. Winston was on their side, but he didn't actually care. He liked the excitement. When religious or moral conundrums came up at the campfire, the look on his face was akin to the one Kip imagined his own must wear, when Tysis talked about fabrics for her eventual real wedding gown. Kip didn't think Irene was going to spring for the big wedding. He also didn't think they were going to live that long, so it was a moot point.
Oh, shit, Ben-Hadad said. That wasn't just his brother's bear, was it?
It's over now, Kip muttered. It doesn't matter. What are you talking about?
Cruxer asked. When Kip started walking without answering, he asked it again, this time of Ben-Hadad. Of course it was Ben who'd figured it out.
You all didn't stop to think how weird it was that a non-willcast bear attacked at just the perfect place and time?
What?
He was just trained that well? Ben-Hadad asked.
Hadn't really thought about it, Farkudi said.
That wasn't Lorcan, Ben-Hadad said. That was Ronan in Lorcan.
Oh, shit, Cruxer said. Or Holum's beard, I'm so sorry, Big Leo said. I didn't mean...
So, wait, Winston said. That was really his brother? In the bear? Didn't his brother die before we even met him?
You're talking soul casting. That is, not just a little bit forbidden, Cruxer said carefully. I've come to appreciate that the Chromeria is sometimes overcareful with these magics, but even the ghosts absolutely, categorically forbid soul casting.
Yes, Kip said, and yet he saved us all today, which makes him a heretic and a hero at the same time.
You knew, Cruxer said.
And you gave Con Arthur an ultimatum, Ben-Hadad said. He gestured around at the destruction the bear had wreaked. To do this. Because Con Arthur couldn't bear to kill him, Fekuti asked. He saw the disbelieving, outraged looks of the others. Oh, no, that one wasn't on purpose, I swear. Ignoring him, Kruxa said to Kip, He lied to you, he said so. About this? I suspected it from the beginning. What would you have had me do, Crux? Put Con Arthur in front of a tribunal right after the Willcasters joined us? That's the law among their people. Ben-Hadad scoffed, and the others looked uneasy. It would have been impossible, of course. Even if they'd held the tribunal, not a sure thing with how much the ghosts revered Con Arthur. Even if they'd found him guilty, and how would they unless he confessed? Even if it had all gone as well as it could, Kip would have lost the ghosts. They would have exploded or melted away into the forest. And without them, these victories would have been impossible. Does the scripture say, do the law and love meting out its punishment? Kip asked. No, it says, do justice and love mercy, Ferkudi said.
Thanks, Ferk, Big Leo said. He knows.
Oh, it was one of those rhetorical?
Yeah, one of those.
The laws are there for a reason, Kruxa said stubbornly, but weakening. Every time we ignore the law, we end with tragedy. Oh, look, Kip said. Here we are. The Nightbringers, who'd been in a mob in front of the city's gate, were now arranged in orderly lines and files. It was more formal, but they also all had their weapons close at hand. But even as they snapped smartly back, rank by rank, to let Kip and the Mighty pass, someone high in the city wall unfurled several great festive banners, and Kip knew everything was going to be fine. The Willcast animals had all been released, so someone, Tysis, no doubt, had procured the remarkably docile black stallion Kip rode when occasions required it. He swung into the saddle less than gracefully. To the general merriment of the Mighty, he was still a rather poor rider. Beside Kip, Ben-Hadad asked Winston out of the side of his mouth, Fluffles? You named your cat Fluffles? What? Great name for a cat, Winston said. If I ever do or don't, or did get one, I definitely may or may not have named it that. In some hypothetical fairy story land, or the real one, it may have happened. It's just for the purpose of illustration. You're a dick, Winston, Ben-Hadad said. I love you, man. Hairless cat, Winston said.
Hairless? They come like that? Big Leo asked.
Oh, of course, Ben-Hadad said, light dawning. Fluffles. The hairless cat. Not hypothetical, then. Odd texture. Feels like foreskin, Winston said. And that was how petting the hairless cat entered the Mighty's lexicon.